You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Nothing shall stand in our way.
Hello and welcome to WoW Talk, the Mash Those Buttons podcast all about World of Warcraft. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm here with Ray Liu.
Hey, hey.
And Jeremy Dupier.
Hey.
And Eric Knutson. And this is WoW Talk number 79. Today is April 16th, 2017. Happy Easter, everybody. Well, I guess happy Easter belatedly. When you're listening to this, happy Easter to you guys. Thanks for showing up today. And if everything went according to plan, you should have noticed our theme music was different this week. That was a little something that I whipped up. Nazgrim's quote had been bothering me for anybody who plays the Death Knight Order Hall. Every time you send him on a mission, he says that nothing shall stand in our way. And I was like, oh, that makes me think of the Perfect Strangers theme. And I now have the ability to pull quotes out, which I might start trying to use on the podcast at some point. So that was the first of many times I'll try to do that. So, but moving on, what have you guys been up to in game? How's has anybody got flying yet? Now that that is achievable.
Yeah.
How is it to fly?
It's amazing. It's fantastic.
All right then.
It it makes questing so much. Like I like leveling alts now in this expansion. I did not like leveling. I didn't even like leveling my rogue in this expansion. All the hills and varying levels and caves and holes and all that stuff. But being able to fly, you can just go right to it and scan the area. It's really easy.
So far from what I've seen, they haven't done anything with respect to some of the Kirin Tor world quests where you have those stupid bubbles you got to float around, or there's the other one where you got to like hit the little pads to fly. And I think you can literally just fly on your mount right to the get the crest reward.
I haven't tried, but probably.
Me and Ray were just talking about that the other day. We were doing one of those Kirin Tor dailies. I'm like, I wonder if we have fly if you just go get it.
Well, like, if you're near a bubble or whatever, I've tried, like, jumping in its vicinity, and it doesn't work that way.
Well, I don't know if you need to be near. You need to be near a bubble. I think you just fly directly to the reward and just get it there.
You might but still if you need click to, like, on it and it dismounts you, you won't be able to reach it.
I think the bubble does that.
Okay.
It depends.
Like, there's the one that's underneath the bridge or whatever.
Yeah, you'd like, still need to be in the bubble.
I can't stand there and click on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that one's easy to get. That one's easy enough to get anyway.
But, like, the one that's, like, on the rooftop, they just fly to the rooftop.
Yeah.
You'd probably still have to, like, talk to the guy to initiate the quest, but then after that, you fly up there.
Yeah, so, that's something that's so minimal. I don't see that hurting anybody. It's not game breaking. I don't know. I suppose if they wanted to, they could find a way to like hot fix that out. But I kind of feel like, especially at this point in the expansion, the only reason really to do those world quests is just to get those satchels that have the mounts in them. So I don't know. I feel like they've even nerfed garrison resources on the world quests. Order Hall resources on the world quests, because I've tried to do a bunch of the regular world quests just around the four Broken Isle zones, not on the Broken Shore. And I was getting maybe like half the resources I used to get.
Do you not have a follower that boosted the amount you got?
No. I mean, I didn't have a follower active for that. But even then, like, normally you'd get like 600 or 700 from the chests that you get when you turn in the four world quests for the zone, and even the emissaries, and even those didn't feel like they were given the same level of reward. So, but then I started running around the Broken Shore, and I was getting plenty of order resources from the Broken Shore. So I don't know if that's been documented anywhere. I haven't seen anything, and it could just entirely be my anecdotal experience. but I feel like they've done some kind of stealth nerf to order resources out in the main part of the Broken Shore in exchange for, you know, encouraging people to go to the Broken Shore. What does everybody think of the Broken Shore so far? How far is everybody on that?
It's kind of fun, I guess. Let's see. I think me and Ray are a little past the halfway mark of Revered. Getting there. I don't know, as far as story progression goes, like, you're just doing a bunch of dailies and logging out. I don't know if there's... I'm sure there's going to be more coming eventually, but...
That sounds like what you could say about, like, most of WoW for its lifetime.
Yeah. Like, the beginning quests and stuff for it, like, it all had a cool storyline with it. Now it's just... Go kill these. Go jump through this portal and steal some stuff. Go kill these. You know.
Go through a portal and then make people get ejected off the mount and fall down from the sky.
Yeah, that was an interesting. Okay, so yeah, the quest where you run through the portal and then you take like the disguise and you steal the things. That one, or I
haven't done that one yet.
I don't even remember what those guys are called. They're like those little rat human looking demon things, but. You take a disguise after you go through this portal and you go around, steal some junk, and then you come back. Well, I had...
That's cool.
I was on the Mammoth, and I kicked off, you know, the two guys, whatever, like Hawkmood and whatever the other one is, and had Ray and Amini riding on it. And so I ran through the portal, and it took them with in the portal, but then it ejected them before they were actually in the ship, so they fell from the airship. Luckily, one had slow fall and the other had levitate, so they lived. But
nice.
Cool. I'll remember this in the near future.
No, I don't have any way of living.
I know. Where's your bubble now?
So, are we satisfied with the rate of the rep grind then? I mean, Jar, I guess you've at least got yours through Revered, and I know you guys said you're halfway to Revered. So, I mean, do we feel like that's a good length of time to have to wait in order to do that? Or do you think it could have gone quicker? Or do you think it should have gone slower and they should have kept all the other requirements for flying in?
Personally, I think it was fine as far as the rep was concerned. Like, if they left all the other stuff in, that'd have been okay. But because they got rid of it, it did feel a little easy. But the length of time it took... I play humans, so I just... I eke that Revered just a little bit faster than everybody else.
You cheat. Yes. You play the cheating race.
Yes. What, there's a rep grind involved?
I'd say the time length seems about right. I mean, me and Ray would have it too if we hadn't done it every day. We'd miss like entire batches of days. And then for a while, the Death Knight specific quest, it was toward the to getting the additional champion. The Death Knight one was bugged. Yes. And so that
was.
Then so there were extra quests, world quests in the Broken Shore that were gated behind that. So for a while I couldn't do it. And then I finally went back and did it. But
I didn't know that there were extra ones gated behind that.
The two that are blue, like the rare level ones or whatever, they showed up. They finally showed up for me after I did that.
Yeah, because I'm guessing I did the same thing as you, where I got into, what was it, the Pit of Saren, where you had to go kill that dragon, and then everybody's just standing there, and there were a ton of people there, and that dragon would just pop and then despawn, and then pop and despawn, and then I was like, this doesn't seem quite right.
It's funny, I got in there, and I took some screenshots of it, because there must have been, when I was in there, there must have been 150 to 200 Death Knights just, like, standing around, throwing down Death into caves, like, waiting for the thing to pop, because also it was faction-tagged. And there was tons of Horde in the line. It's just like there are D&Ds everywhere trying to catch it as soon as it pops. But it didn't work because it would glitch.
Everybody was salty. Yeah. So, they hot fixed that. I think the next day I was able to get that on my Death Knight, and then I got the Hunter champion pretty easily as well. So, do we have Ray? You play a shaman, right?
Yeah.
Have you gotten the extra follower on your shaman?
No, not yet. I got it on my priest, but not my shaman yet.
Okay, you'll have to let me know when you get your shaman follower.
Oh. I feel like, did Josh talk about this? I don't remember if Josh talked about that.
He might have. It's a fairly controversial character.
Oh, yeah, you know what? He did. Because I think him and Matt were talking about it during Midnight.
What is it? Do tell.
It's Magatha Grim Totem.
What? It's a, I guess I don't know who that person is.
She was in vanilla, she was one of the shaman trainers in Thunder Bluff. And it turned out that, you know, and she was, you know, and the Grim Totem were being, hostile towards Thunder Bluff. But she was like, look, I can only do so much with them. I'm not really working with them. And it turns out she was leading them the whole time.
Oops.
And so during the Cataclysm, she's the one who put the poison on Gorhal so that when Cairn and Garrosh dueled, that Garrosh won by poisoning him.
Okay.
And then the Grim Totem tried to take over Thunder Bluff right after that, after Cairn died, and then Bane had to go and kick everybody out of Thunder Bluff. And then she was last seen prior to this in Thousand Needles, where the Twilight Cult had captured her, and she asked for help breaking out, and then they had some kind of super-powered relic that she asked you to help get for her, so you get the super-powered relic, and she takes it and goes off with that. And you're like, we just gave like one of the big villains in the game like a major weapon and then just let her walk away. And now she comes back as part of the Shaman Order Hall quest line. And it's interesting in only the sense that like nobody likes her.
She seems to have quite the,
and rightly
quite
so,
the checkered past.
And she doesn't even, yeah, and she doesn't even seem like she likes us, but it's one of those things where the Legion threat is so great that we have to put down our weapons and coordinate with her. And I don't know, I saw an interesting thread on Reddit where somebody kind of compared her, like our relationship with her, to the Horde's relationship with Jaina, where... the Alliance is all saying to Jaina, like, look, like, yeah, you hate the Horde, but the Legion is way worse. We need to work with the Horde. And Jaina's just like, screw you guys, I'm going home. And we don't have the luxury of being like, no, we don't want to work with Magatha. Screw you guys, I'm going home. Like, we have to take her as a follower. You can deactivate her. But that's about all you can do. So that's super interesting. So I don't know, any other interesting followers or anything from 7.2? What was it? We did, I joined you guys for one of the, was it the Stormheim invasion that we did?
Oh.
Or no, it was Azuna. It was Azuna we did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. I was really hoping I was going to get rep out of those, but I didn't.
Yeah. I don't know. They're very particular about how you get rep.
It's like I'm helping repel the Legion invasion. I should get rep for this, right? Isn't this what they're doing at the Broken Shore? I just happen to not be in the Broken Shore. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's so silly.
I'm helping in more places than your Broken Shore. You should still reward me.
One note on the invasions, though, is that when you get into the zone, it gives you the quest for... when you go to do the invasion, it gives you the quest. You have to do four world quests in the area. And then after that, you go to the quest giver and you get your reward. And then he has a daily for you and you have to take that daily. And then that finishes the invasion where you go up and you fight on the ship, or at least you're supposed to. I didn't do that. I took the quest and then I got lost in Azuna. And then it was like a little scenario. So the other two people I was working with, just two random people, they got on the ship. They killed the boss. I was just running around Azuna the whole time without knowing what I was doing. And I still got credit for it.
Oh, man.
So. So just bear that in mind. I don't know, but anything else as far as with 7.2 before we move on? I will take that as a no. So as far as Order of Corrupted Souls, what have you guys been up to? Any as far as raiding, dungeon stuff, what's going on there?
We had a
kind of a fun experience this week. We had a couple people missing, including one of the tanks. So we had to shuffle things up a little bit, and we went through normal. We had to grab some pugs for the group, and we ran into a paladin that was pretty funny. We recruited, at this point we only had two bosses left in normal, and then we were going to move on to heroic. So this was Thursday, and I advertised that, and then somebody, this rep paladin, signed up and said, just here for Gul'dan. I was like, all right, well, whatever. He can come for Gul'dan, and then we don't need him after that. and he was 892, so it was, you know, decent enough gear. And he comes in, he joins the group, and immediately he asks for a summon. And we're like, okay, well, let's just get the coffin down or whatever. And he goes, we start to get the summon out, and he cancels it, and he says, never mind, I'll fly. And then we're like, and then he's like, because I could fly, flying's faster. And we're like, we're standing in front of the boss, like, it's not faster to fly over here. So whatever, he just refuses the summons. I think we sent him a second one, he still unclicked it, and he insisted on flying here. And then we're like, all right. And he shows up, and then he gets where we're at, and then he hops on a mount that he had. It was a, what was it called? It was like a motorcycle with a track on it that's expensive. I can't remember what it's called. It's one you can buy for like $100,000.
Was it the
Alliance one? Was it that one? Yeah, maybe it was. Okay, it's the Alliance motorcycle. And he just hops on it, and then he just types in, he's like, yes, this is the such and such motorcycle. And then, so he like just kept like boasting and about things, and like, all right, whatever, we'll pull the boss. And so we're going, and then he's like auto-attacking, and he's doing the fight, but he's like the worst I've ever seen. Like, for somebody with 892 gear, he was losing to both of the tanks and a warlock that we're bringing with, that he's a friend of mine, that had like an 830 gear score.
Wow.
He was like holding up, I think it was like 120k or something at first.
He was 838 on Tuesday, or on Thursday.
Yeah, we got him to 838. So, this paladin was absolutely terrible, but then he went on, we were at Gul'dan, and we were debating whether or not to just kick him right on the pole so that he didn't get his Gul'dan kill anyway. I ended up leaving him in just because, whatever, we're going to get it done either way. But it was, he said some other things that were funny that I'm just forgetting right now, actually. But it was something about his transmogs, about he got these, like, hard-to-get transmogs or something, and he was, like, switching them up and showing people, like, we don't need to see, we don't care. Good for you.
So
yeah,
that sounds like epic level trolling.
Yeah, maybe.
he can't legitimately be that dumb to be that way. Like, can he?
I don't know.
Oh, I should have. I mean, I still have his name on here. I can look him up. That's my other story too for the next one after this.
What's that story?
Oh, I'd use the classified ads on Facebook to find someone, and there's someone that said they'd want to come, and they had so I touched base with them to message them, and they started talking about their paladin, and I'm like, all right, well, you know we need range, right? He's like, oh, well, I have a mage and a hunter that I could bring or whatever. I was like, well, okay, that's fine either way. And he said, well, I'll bring my mage because that one's better or whatever. It was like 850 something. So he came the one day. Was this over the span of 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Yeah. So, and so he'd come with or whatever. And then he said afterwards, and like he didn't do that well, but I mean, he just talked a lot of WoW, like super excited, or just as Eric would say, that he's just trying to make an impression of just being cool guy or whatever to the group. And then so he spends that following weekend to level his warlock on the horde side to 110 and then gear it up, and then he transferred faction and server but onto his other server for Stormrage. Then he said he'd come with, and then he didn't come with because he said he had to do mythic dungeons before they were going to help him to do mythic raiding. And I'm like, okay. And then like I look at his stuff and he like didn't even do that, and I haven't said anything just because I don't know if people ever notice that like I can find out all the things I need to find out. So if you're lying, like I just get super mad, and I'm pretty close to putting him a blast in the classified ad for being a fucking retard. The anger.
You're like Baskin Robbins, you find out.
I do. Matt was like, it's kind of scary. I was like,
Farms.
Well, yes, I am like Pepperidge Farms. I'm going to bake the cookies and I'm going to know all your secrets. No, so yeah, the paladin, what was it? He was like 892 geared as well.
Yep.
So I was like, what the heck? But all he's ever done, he's completed LFR and normal and Gul'dan. He only done, so the last, what did he do? Botanist with us? So that was his second kill on Botanist and his first kill for Gul'dan.
He had never killed Gul'dan.
He's never been there outside of that. Yeah. Guys, do your background checks on people if you need to. You know, it's the easiest way to find out who's doing what when.
Well, that's impressive that he was able to get his eye level up that high without having done Gul'dan. I guess he's run through Nighthold on a few times.
Must have.
So, or I guess he just does enough high-level mythics.
Yeah, probably, maybe the mythics. But yeah, he's Nighthold, he only completed, he only did Moonman and Elisande and Gul'dan once, and everything else has been twice, except for Anomaly, which he did three times. So
yeah.
Not that many. A lot of LFR, though.
I feel like he had to have been playing terrible on purpose, because no Rhett Paladin with 892 is going to be at 120k. Like, even when we had Time Warp or Heroism, he still was bursting. It wasn't even breaking 200. I'd never seen it before. You know, the other thing that was really funny with the one that we pulled out of the classifieds that Ray was just talking about, he was trying to decide what spec to play for his Warlock. And we're like, yeah, whenever, just play whichever one you like. And whenever, and he comes back, he's like, oh, hey guys, I figured out what spec I want to play. I'm like, okay, what are you going to play? He's like, demo. I'm like, all right, cool, good for you. And he's like, well, I heard Affliction's going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. I heard these nerfs and stuff. And then he's like, it's like, I talked to a friend who put me in contact with such and such, a raiding warlock on Method. And I talked to this raider from Method, and they told me to do this. I'm like, what? Just play the spec you want to play. What's your problem?
Yeah.
I don't need you to name drop from professional raiding guilds for me to think you're cool. It's okay.
Unless you're like a serious hardcore raider, and if you're a hardcore raider, then you don't need to actually hear it directly from somebody in Method. You'll know where to get those resources anyway. Right. But yeah, no, just play this. Always, like, that should be the first rule of the game, is play the spec you want to play. Even if it's worse than DPS, it'll still
just play the game. Yeah, I think I wrote back to him after that. I was like, or no, it was in our chat program. So I was like, really, don't worry about that. Play whatever spec you enjoy playing the most. 1% here, 1% there. It's not really going to matter that bad. And we're not serious enough where we're going to bench you for being 5% lower than you should be or something. It's just pick what you want to play, because as long as you keep coming back, that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. But he's not coming back. It's okay.
I already told our chat group, I hope nobody opposes, but I will decline his offer if he wants to come back.
Don't you want to see what other cool mounts he has?
No, that's the Paladin.
Oh, that's the Paladin.
Yeah, this is someone else.
Oh, so you are going to have the Paladin back because you do want to see the other cool mounts he has.
No, he's on my spreadsheet with a check mark next to his name. It's fine. He won't be coming back. I have a ban list. That's why I make sure to put everybody that comes with us for stakes purposes of either needing to find them again or not having them come again. So while I remember, we'll have a Rukia from Stormrage shout out. Thanks for putting up with our shenanigans and bullshit and whatnot. That was fun. And I'm trying to think who else came that was okay. Oh, Rosie Jasmine, which only came for three bosses, though, then had to go because of the real-life things. And I think that's it, right?
Well, I think so.
Do we have anybody else?
No, I think that was it. We only needed a few.
That was it for the week. Yeah. Yep, nope, that's all we had for the week. Or for the past 2 weeks, rather.
Cool. So any other fun stuff going on in game?
Let's see. Not really. I guess, wait, what did you have?
I was going to say, I know Shackles, and then I think who else got that? The worm mount thingy.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, I got that.
You got that. Okay. I was like, who else got that?
That was the Riddler's mind worm mount, which I know there was a Discord that was going on, and Jeremy Fiesel, I think at Muffinus, had been pretty active about that on Twitter. I guess not so much active about that, but I guess teasing and taunting the people in the Discord trying to figure it out. And I have no idea how they actually figured that out. The way that they implemented this was fairly impressive. It starts, there's a little paper that you click on in the Ledger Main, Lounge in Dalaran. You click on the paper, it has like a little phrase. I don't even know how, I think the phrase vaguely hints at where you might need to go to get the next page. But then you have to go to somewhere else, click on another page, and there's like eight pages you have to go and click on as you go through the process. But the trick is that the pages don't spawn until you click on the prior one. So it's not like they're items in the game. So they're, I don't think they could data mine them. They were like impossible to data mine, which is why people didn't find this on the PTR. So you had to go and click on these pages in order. I went, I did this. And as a result, like one of the pages was by Ragnaros in Firelands. So I got to solo the Firelands raid for the first time on my Hunter. And then one of the pages was in the Mount Hyjal raid in the Caverns of Time. So I got to finish the Caverns of Time raid on my Hunter for the first time. So I got those achievements. And then I went and finally I got the last page and then I got the mount. So, between that and the Falcosaurs that I've been working on, I was at 149 mounts.
Nice.
And then I noticed I never bought all of the crane mounts from the Golden Lotus. So I went and I bought those and I hit 150 mounts. So I got my Jade Pandaren kite.
Oh, right.
So that was a nice little bonus.
And I just need 100 more.
Well, yeah, I want to keep going because I think there's a 250 achievement is the last one. So I got to work for that. So that's going to take a while. But what I want to do is this is one of those dumb things that like this is sort of like the game within a game in a way, or it's like not even a meta game. But I want to sit down and look at my characters and figure out like out of these 150 mounts, I have about 10 characters. Really, I have like four or five that I actually play, and then I have like four or five that I like never play. But so out of these 10 characters, I want to figure out like how to divide up these 150 mounts. So each character has like 15 mounts that they use and then just write the macros to make sure that those characters only use those mounts. So, because I don't have enough else to do in the game. I actually need to do something super nerdy like that.
There you go.
So. But yeah, so there's that. So that was a nice little, like it took two nights for me to do it. Cause I mean, it maybe like an hour or so, an hour and a half each night. And that was only because I had to solo my way through the raids that I'd never done before, which I guess was a little bit disappointing because I remember hearing a lot about like Firelands back at the time. Like there's that one boss who is on the little platform and you got to keep it balanced and you otherwise the whole thing like tips over or something. And I just jump on there and I just one shot him. And it's like, oh, it would have been fun to kind of check out the mechanics, but oh well. So.
Oh, that's one where you DPS the left and right legs or whatever, right?
Yeah. That's actually that took me a moment too to find it because I think I had him targeted and it was like you can't attack this target. And it took me a while to realize, oh, I need to click on his legs. Like that was the hardest part of the fight.
Yeah, I was the
how to start fight.
Yeah,
I was the dedicated leg collar outer back when that was progression. It's like, don't mess up, Nether. Well, start hitting the left leg. Nope, there's a volcano over there. Hit the right leg. Why is he going left? I don't know. Hit the right leg.
Was that platform big enough to fit 25 people? I mean, it must have been, but it felt kind of small when I was there. Was that like a tight fight?
I think Kata, we were 10 man group, but yeah, 25 was tight. I've gone on a few 25 bugs. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, so there was that, and then... Oh yeah, as far as learning how to start the fight, the other thing that I did battle for Mount Hyjal in the Caverns of Time, when at the end before you fight Varathen and Manoroth, I guess Varathen keeps summoning these bats, but if you just shoot the bats immediately, he won't. I guess you're supposed to kill the bats slowly so you can trigger some dialogue between Illidan and Tyrande. But if you just like one shot the bats like I was doing, nothing happens. Like you just keep summoning more bats. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. So I had to like look that up, on WoWhead to find out like, oh, I have to like strip off all my armor and then punch the bats. And then while I'm doing that, eventually Illidan and Tyrande will go through their dialogue and then I can put, kill the bats, put everything back on and finish the raid. So, so that was fun. But so then what else? Also, I'm very excited. I got my legendary ring on my Hunter, the Apex Predator's Claw, which I know it's not supposedly one of the best, one of the better legendaries for a Hunter. I think it's like an average as far as legendaries go, but that's the one that has the, that gives your pet all specializations, which was the adaptation talent in Warlords. So I've been missing that. I love having my pet be able to tank and do DPS and do whatever the hell the cunning spec did. The fact that like I have that ability now, I'm super excited. For me, Warlords is done. That was the only Legion is done. That's the only thing I wanted out of Legion was to get that legendary. So if I don't do anything else in this expansion, I'm happy.
That's all you need.
That's all I need. I didn't even care about flight. I just wanted that ring. Anything else going on? Anybody else get any cool legendaries? Anything else? Or have we pretty much talked about what we've done now?
Everybody got a lot of legendaries. Isaac got his seventh one, but he doesn't.
Seven?
But he doesn't want that one.
How can you even get seven at this point?
He only plays one character. Yeah, but I don't know. He's just, he's at war with, you know, Mr. Hot Coasters.
The,
I don't know. Just taunting him with shit and like, here, take this piece of crap legendary. They're just having a fight. They just don't know it yet.
We were running alts in normal Nighthold, and I was on my rogue, and we wiped on Star Auger at like 10% or something. And I was like, let me switch to my warrior just so we kill the boss. And we kill him, and I get fucking Zefu's secret. I'm like, what this piece of...
I've heard that's actually good now. There's sometimes where you need it. I think some of the classes use it on their to get their class challenge for the artifact appearance. I know some of them were saying you need to. It's recommended to use Zefu's.
Well, maybe, but
might be one of the rogue ones though. So you might have gotten it on the wrong character.
It's like, I want my helmet. Please give me my... As soon as it dropped, I was like, that's not a helmet. But I can always see.
Yeah, what?
I can always see if it's any good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you have two other legendaries, or is that your second?
He has a bunch.
Yeah.
Oh.
He got two on his warrior and one on his rogue on the same day that Josh got one and Matt got one.
Yeah, everybody got a bunch of legendaries that last week in Raid. Pretty crazy.
Cool. So speaking of the class challenges, did anybody try them the other week when the Mage Tower was up? Actually, I think it's back up again. It'll probably be down by the time this goes live. But
yeah,
did anybody try there?
Times.
How bad was it?
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Like, I know each class gets like specific ones. The Fury Warrior one is an impossible foe where you have to kill Agatha, the big like succubus mother.
Okay.
And the fight starts. The fight starts, right? You're beating her up, and then she spawns two imps that run up, and they start to heal her if you don't defeat, you know, kill them. While those are up healing her, she spawns smaller guys that cast fireballs at you that you have to kill. And then she'll also periodically spawn an imp that walks towards you, and if it reaches you, it explodes and leaves crap on the floor that you can't stand in. And then the boss will periodically shield herself, and you have to chew through the shield so you can interrupt her, because she starts channeling the spell that gains stacks and just hurts you more and more and more the longer she casts it. But on top of the bubble that she gets, every now and again, these little imps spawn, and I can't remember their name, but they make her immune to damage, period. So even if you break the shield, you can't interrupt her if those things are up, because she becomes uninterruptible. So you have to kill all these imps all at the same time, blah, 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 blah. Well, when you get to 50%, she moves to the back of the room, keep spawning imps, but now fiery boulders start descending from the ceiling and rolling in a line, kind of like the fire boss in that one dungeon in Warlords, where you're on the bridge.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
And
then you get her to 25%. Yeah. You get her to 25%, she'll move to the other side of the room, where you have to continue to deal with all this other stuff. And I got her once to go to the other side of the room to spawn boulders. I was like, oh my god, I can't do this.
I tried mine twice. And then I decided I should go online. And then someone made a post just saying that as the healer, the tank goes in and doesn't interrupt stuff, and The mage doesn't, or not the mage, the hunter and the rogue, they don't do the things that they need to do, and that this is the most realistic simulation of failing, because once the tank died, you fail, or someone dies, then you fail. So it's like, this is the best real life simulation I've ever had of playing an MMO.
Yeah. I tried mine, and yeah, that was a no-go. The first time, I insta-gibbed on it. I had no idea. I just kind of went into it blindly. And then the second time, I watched a video, and I went in and I lasted a little bit, but it was, I have no method down to it yet. So there's no way. And I didn't feel like paying for it, so I only did it the two times.
I wussed out. I didn't try it at all. Uh-huh. Like, I'll get my eye level up a bit. You know what? Even then, especially for the Beastmaster Hunter, I don't care for the appearance. Mm. So that's one of the few times that it's like, you know, if I don't get that, then I'm not too upset. The Death Knight one, that looks a little bit cooler. I might try to get that, but I'm way worse on my Death Knight than I am on my Hunter. So that's really going to be a bit of a learning curve there.
And the big thing about the one I was doing was it's kind of exploitable somewhat. The imps that heal her, if you fear them with an intimidating shout and then don't break the fear early, just let them run around and let them come back on their own, they stop healing her.
Perfect.
Huh.
But it was still freaking difficult because of the shield and then the other things and the poop on the floor. Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I know Blizzard actually did release like a little chart showing. They did release a chart.
Oh, how many times it was tried and how many people came out victorious. Yeah, it was
like 125,000 or something. And it was like less than 1%. It was like 0.5% were successful. And there were actually a handful who were successful on their first try. But for the most part, it was a whole lot of people running at them and a whole lot of people failing.
Yeah, isn't it like somewhere... In the upper echelon of like 3.5 million have attempted it, only 130 something have.
Something like that, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's.
It's okay. I mean, at least it's just only something that's just aesthetic. It's not like you need this to continue on your gameplay or else life is over and you have to commit Sudoku and some other shit.
But that's one of those things, though, where. I guess, I mean, on the one hand, like, this is intended to sort of provide content as we go on. Like, it's ideally tuned around gear from the Tomb of Sargeras raid, which we don't necessarily have yet. And so, in that regard, they're expecting a lot more people will be able to clear this, you know, as we go on. But at the same time, this is supposed to be a class challenge. This is supposed to prove, like, mastery of your class. And it's really kind of a DPS check. And I mean, I guess, you know, a bit of a healing, a HPS check for the healer and whatnot.
Actually, that's the other thing. When I kept reading down the list, it's basically I have to interrupt and stun and do all these things, not while healing, I guess, is what I have to do. I can't just be a healer, even though I'm the only healer there.
So having to do that, does that make you feel like you've mastered your class?
Well, I only heal. So, I mean, it's just kind of like. I guess if I had to smush all three specs into one, sure. But I guess I would have to read and see what the things do. Because I went in, I'm like, oh, I just have to heal because I'm a healer. They weren't like, hey, by the way, just pretend this is like a real life raid simulation or dungeon simulation where everybody doesn't do anything at all. And then I have to listen to Eric yell that I can't believe this person's played this game this fucking long and doesn't know how to do a goddamn interrupt. And then I'm like, well, fuck. So that's pretty much what it's like right now, except Eric's not there yelling about the other two people.
This is a common occurrence.
So once you get the appearance, then we know that you can handle all the interrupts, so we don't ever have to worry about interrupting when you're healing.
No, because I'm going to have to switch my talents back, because that's what it was. Like someone wrote about like what talents to take or whatever, so I'd have to switch a couple things just to... CC interrupt and I have to drag Shackle Undead onto my fucking bar, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
The one thing that I liked about those is that it seems that when you do the quests to empower your artifact at the beginning of 7.2, they tie into the challenge that you wind up having to do. Like, I know on my Hunter... I had to go and it was like Turgar, I think, was the high mountain or the not the high mountain, the fell totem. Torin that I had to like hunt down, and I hunted him down and I didn't kill him. He just sent a big worm after me and I killed the worm. And then I go back and Khadgar's like, all right, we'll power up your weapon. And then I noticed that if I do the challenge on my Beastmaster, I actually have to go kill Turgar. So, and I think this, I noticed the same thing on my, my Frost Death Knight, that when I went to empower my Frost weapon, I had to go to Archmage Xylem's tower and do some stuff there, but Xylem runs away. And then I think I read that the Frost Death Knight challenge is you have to go fight Xylem. So it seems that there actually is a bit of continuity between like, oh, okay, go empower your weapon. Okay, now go back and get the, go do the challenge now, get your hidden artifact. So that seemed like a cool bit, cool thing that Blizzard did.
Yeah. Had to rescue a mage chick from dabbling in warlock stuff, a Kirin Tor mage. She was duped to the dark side by succubi.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, that's what that is.
I think we've all been there.
Every day.
I just kicked her where the sun didn't shine.
Vile temptress.
Yeah, so I think that's everything that we've done, isn't it? Is there anything else to talk about?
I gotta treat Agatha like you, a United Flight beat her up.
Yeah, that happened also.
That was a meme.
It's a thing.
Enjoy your time on the internet. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we've seen all the memes on that. So
we did.
But we did get an email, if we can move into that. From our good buddy YepX, he wrote in to say, I've heard a couple podcasts and various videos complaining that the Legion invasions happen at times when most people are sleeping or at work. I just want to remind everyone that if you paid attention to Blizzard Q&As and forum posts, they explicitly said the invasion system is meant to feel like a threat, and the frequency of them will gradually increase as the expansion goes. I expect the invasions to be in full swing by the time Argus patch launches. YepX, P.S., what have you sacrificed? So that's good to remember. I know we talked a little bit about the invasions before. There was a lot of consternation when the invasions first started happening the other week, that it did seem, the problem is they're only up for 6 hours. And I think we got used to the Legion invasions, back during the launch event. You know, they were up for like six hours too, but they were up. There was always something one up is what the way it was is like, you know, they might be up for 6 hours and then it would change. And actually I think they were up for like 2 hours. I think they were 2 hours before, but every 2 hours, then another one would pop up. So when you got home from work, there was always one to do. And here it was, is I think that there's 4 invasions over 3 days. So within that 72 hour window, you would have 4 6-hour invasions and the exact time that they would pop. And because they were only up for 6 hours means if it popped at 9 a.m. when you were at work, you weren't going to get home in time to do that. So unless you had the opportunity to play during your lunch break, or unless you have a job where you could play Warcraft and nobody's going to notice, you just missed out on it. And especially since that was required for flying, that was annoying. And I know that was like the first thing that they did was like after 2 days of everybody complaining, they're like, okay, we're not going to make it required for flying. Because I think, yeah, eventually people, you know, eventually with the way the schedule was staggered, at some point we did start to hit. I mean, like I said, we were able to do that Azuna invasion because that hit on a night that we were playing. So I think that eventually over the course of like a month, you probably would have been able to do all 4 invasions. But again, if people could get, Explore the Broken Shore pretty quickly, people can get to Revered or almost to Revered pretty quickly, for this to be the bottleneck because of an arbitrary time requirement, I think people were a bit upset about that. So I don't know. Did you guys have any opinions from the time when the invasions were popping up at first and we couldn't do them?
Not me personally.
No.
So you guys didn't notice this at all?
No. I only ever did one. And then after.
Yeah, I think Isaac always said something about doing them, but we were like in the middle of something. Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing about it, though, too, is you don't get wrecked with Legion Fall for doing the invasions after the first one. So it's like, yeah, just do that first one and you're good.
Well, now they're fine. But before, these were required to get flight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, then you would have been struggling to do them.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I would have.
It's nice that they removed it anyway, because, again, you don't get rep after the first one. So it's like, why should I do this? Well, because it's tied to flying, but...
when I did it, it was like, also, the emissary for doing world quests in Azuna was up, and these were in Azuna, so I'm like, alright, well, double whammy. I did them, and then after I noticed that they didn't really give me anything that beneficial, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm ever going to go out of my way to do these again. Unless it satisfies the mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you did the...
Well, it seems the other thing is the nether shards.
Oh, if that's cool, I guess those are important.
Yeah, that's what they seem to give, is that you get nether shards with each of the world quests. But
just for the legendary crafting item piece, right? Because all the gear you get, you get out of mythics.
You know, I wish they had said something back at 7.0, like, oh, by the way, hold on to your nether shards, because you might want to, you know, you're going to have something to spend them on in 7.2. Because I had, I think at the end of those legions, on the characters that I leveled up, I had a ton of nether shards. And I was like, well, I'm just going to burn these on the chests for the gear that you could get back then. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that I would need it now. So, I mean, I had a couple hundred left just because of the way the prices worked out. I had some excess, but yeah, I could have saved up more. I could have stockpiled more. I could have ground more back there.
Yeah, I think I still have all my stuff from back there. Of course, I still have fucking those tokens from Wrath sitting in my bank. So, I mean, you know, can't quote me on anything, I guess.
One other thing. Actually, I'll come to that in a moment. I guess to finish up on YepX's email, what have you sacrificed?
Sleep.
One of the guildies. Yeah. I won't tell you which one.
It's sacrificed for the Legion? Or the invasions?
I don't know. Just in general, what have you sacrificed? I
sacrificed all of my sleep. I'm just staying up way too late trying to do this rep stuff before I go to bed every night. It's horrible.
That's
very true.
I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but we were talking about nether shards. And my friend was like, you should get those by default just for logging in, because your name is Nether something on like all of your tunes. And I was like, I should get a lot of things by default, because I've been playing this game for 13 years. Oh God, what have I done?
So you sacrificed your youth is what you're saying.
It's somewhere.
I would say I sacrificed my Alliance Hunter, because now I play my Alliance Death Knight.
Right?
So he's still out there, but he's not doing anything.
He's just hanging out.
He's sitting on the bench like, come on, coach. Put me in. I'm ready.
Pretty much.
I saw it.
And he's got a sweet transmog with an eye patch. It's all pretty cool. And now he's doing nothing.
I saw you on Cloud Howler the other day. I was going, Cloud Howler.
Yeah, what was I on there for? I was on there just now because I was checking, and I already did this, but with those Falcosaur mounts, I'm still working through getting all four of them. And I used all my tokens. The Garrison, level 3 Garrison, you get a free battle pet leveling token, and I used them all already. So I have another Falcosaur pet to level up. I have to get the little battle pet currency in order to buy that from the vendor. Or just level it up straight through doing battle pets, but I'm not doing that. So, yeah, as much as that's been annoying, I'm still doing that. I'll still be doing that for another like 3 weeks. So, yeah, that's what I've also sacrificed my dignity in not doing pet battles. Is that I do them now. So. Thank you, YepX, for the email. If anybody else has any questions or comments, or you know, just to see how we're doing. You can send it to wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. And let's see here. So moving into the news, we've been talking a lot about general chatter kind of stuff here, because it's really been a slow news week. The only real news item that we have is that patch 7.2.5 is coming along on the PTR. They released some notes, and the notes have some interesting features that they mentioned. In particular, they mentioned there will be an epic time-twisting questline involving everyone's favorite Walking Paradox, Chromie. So, yeah, there's a quest there where apparently You have to travel through time a few times to prevent Chromie from dying. So, yeah, so that should be amusing to play through. There is an assortment of new events, including a Moonkin Festival, a transmog competition that they are calling the Trial of Style, and then also an auction house dance party. And what's interesting about the auction house dance party is that originally in the patch notes, it was called the Dance Studio. And then they had to correct the name.
Oh, because it made people think about the changing your dance move thing, right? That they never actually did.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't... Yeah, so no, we're not getting the dance studio that we were once promised, but we're kind of getting a variant on the dance studio with some kind of auction house dance party. And I think they even data mined some like disco balls and some like funky settings for the auction house. So it seems like you're going to go in there and everybody's just going to be dancing like it's a nightclub or something. So. Awesome. So that'll be amusing. That'll be amusing. But it's, you know, that's another one of those things that it really makes me feel like Legion is the final World of Warcraft expansion. Like, I almost feel like we're going to go to Argus and we're going to kill Sargeras. And then at BlizzCon this year, they're going to be like, so you killed Sargeras. Now what? Nothing. The game is over. You beat the big bad. Like, because, I mean, we got the moose that Ghostcrawler had promised us oh so long ago. We've got everybody showing up. Magatha's back. We're dealing with Bolvar as the Lich King. We've got all this stuff going on. And now we're finally getting at least some sort of variant on the long-promised dance studio. And for them to be including that, like, it's just, like, they're literally giving us everything that they could think of. Like, I don't know what they would have held back for the next expansion.
I don't know.
So, we're going to have to find out.
We'll find because out.
It's going to come one way or another. But it's just amazing what they've done from a fan service level. Mm-hmm. And then also the other thing that's coming is Black Temple time walking. So they haven't specified exactly how that will work. If that's going to be an event that's going to show up like every 8 or 9 weeks. Like the other time walking that might wind up being part of the Burning Crusade time walking weekend anyway, or it might just be a limited time event like the Molten Core, mm-hmm. going back to Molten Core was for the anniversary. So I mean, it could, there's a lot to see as far as how that's all going to work, but that's great. That is great, because I mean they've pretty much added all the time walking dungeons that they can. We're not going to see any more of those. At least the next dungeons we'll get will be the Legion time or the Warlords time walking dungeons, but that won't be till the next expansion.
Yeah, that's too soon. Nobody wants those yet.
You know, I thought the same thing about the Mists of Pandaria stuff, but it has been a while.
I was good with the Mists of Pandaria dungeons when they brought those on.
Yeah,
I liked Warlords dungeons too.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. I don't know. I guess they're okay. Some of them are okay.
My favorite one was the train, because everybody else hated that.
Damn train.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one, as long as they didn't use barrage.
Yeah. No, the great thing about that Black Temple thing, time walking, is apparently Demon Hunters can get a special Warglaives of Azanoth transmog from it.
Hmm.
And I just hit 110 on my Demon Hunter today.
Ooh, ooh. Nice. So how many 110s do you have?
3.
Oh, not bad, not bad. So let's see here. And then also in the patch, they mentioned they're going to make some adjustments for a few of the specialties. Destro Warlocks, Outlaw and Subtlety Rogues, Brewmaster and Mistweaver Monks, Havoc Demon Hunters, and Guardian Druids in particular are getting some attention. So... it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I mean, so again, we'll get their usual round of class changes. I worry that they're going to do what they did kind of last time, where they're going to make a bunch of class changes, and then they're going to have to hold off on the raid, because it seems like this is going to come out right around the time that we should be going into the Tomb of Sargeras, even though the tomb is not part of 2.5. It's technically part of just 2.0. But usually that seems to be how it works, that they'll hold the raid back until that point, so... hopefully they'll have some time between when they put these changes live and then the raid goes live. That there won't be any kind of issue with that as far as them trying to do any live tweaking while the raid is up. But I don't know. I don't even know how many guilds are left doing like world first mythic anyway for the that to matter, because didn't pretty much all of them quit after Nighthold?
I think so.
So, yeah, for like the one guild still doing world first mythic, I guess what that'd be like Exorcists, like you have to worry about if they're gonna make any changes or not, but everybody else isn't gonna care. So yeah, so that's the 7.2.5 news. And then one last little thing that they mentioned, Warcraft devs on Twitter tweeted out that they changed, this I'm excited about, they changed the requirement for your hidden artifact. There's one of the tints that you get. You had to do 100 dungeons in Legion. Run 100 Legion dungeons to unlock the hidden artifact tint. And they changed it. It's now only 30. So I'm excited. 30 is much more doable than 100. So
oh, man.
They dropped it significantly. I farmed that 100.
So. It took me forever.
You know, I did, though. I did my I did that on my Hunter. I did the Cathedral of Eternal Night, the new dungeon. I don't think I got credit towards that. I think it's only counting the original launch dungeons. So I'll have to check to see if, like, Court of Stars Heroic or what's the other one? The Arcway.
Okay.
If those two that they or the split Charizon, because I'm only I'm especially on my Hunter, I'm only doing these through LFR or LFG rather. I'll have to check to see if any of those count towards that. But because I did the heroic version of Court of Stars or not Court of Stars, Cathedral of Eternal Night. And I did not see because I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe I only had five done that. Now I have six done, but I thought I had six before. So I'll have to I don't know if I got credit for that. So. Just watch for that, because it may, I mean, even so, I mean, running 30, I mean, if you're doing any amount of mythics, I mean, you should probably already have this done. I'm sure the people that were what chain running Maw of Souls got that done pretty quickly. But
so this is the old one from before?
Yeah, this is for the hidden artifact appearance. Yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah, that's the one where you had to do some stuff. So I'm still... Every so often when I remember on my death knight, I'll change over to undead spec and then summon Army of the Dead just to see if anything happens. But yeah, that's I don't know. I got to get my warlock up because I want to get that Thalkiel's visage, the one that looks like a floating Eridar head. So that's what I got to do. So this has been WoW Talk number 79. You can email us at wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. Again, thank you to YepX for sending in his email. You can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, and by RSS feed. Links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. You can find us at twitter.com/mtbsite, also twitter.com/wowtalkmtb. Facebook.com/mashthosebuttons and facebook.com/wowtalkmtb and youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. Ray, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, under Aim for Amelia Rage, and I just post pictures for my WoW on Twitter at bishonenomiko, which is my same URL for my Facebook thing. Just copy and paste from there.
Cool. And Eric, where can people find you?
Just on Facebook, currently. I might do a Twitter set up for screenshots and stuff like Ray does. I haven't done that yet.
Come on, join us. Join us. I need more zombie followers. Okay. And Jeremy, where can people find you?
Facebook, friends with Ray and Eric. Easy peasy.
Cool. And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. You can go to themashthosebuttons.com/schedule. Or scheduling details. Thank you to Heat Kings for our intro song, which we didn't play this week. We'll play that again next week. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing. Thank you for listening. For Ray, Jeremy, and Eric, I'm Nick. Enjoy playing WoW.
See you guys.
See ya.